Chapter 3. The First Morning in Hell Close. Jack Barker, the new Prime Minister, was going down to the basements under Buckingham Palace. He was with a guard from the palace. They arrived at an area the size of a football field, divided into a lot of small rooms.
"Is there anything in particular you want to see, Mr. Barker?" the guard asked.
"I want to see everything there is," said Jack.
"Most of the collection is at the Tower of London, of course," said the guard, showing Jack a collection of exquisite crystal animals.
Jack picked up a crystal cat.
"How much is this worth?" asked Jack.
"That was made by the famous Russian jeweller Fabergé. It's worth about £250,000, said the guard. "There are 411 of them in here."
"That's enough to build a hospital," Jack murmured.
"Several hospitals," corrected the guard.
They moved on. The guard pointed to an enormous silver soup bowl.
"It takes 4 men to lift that," he said.
Further on, Jack was very surprised to see hundreds of gold plates, bowls and serving dishes.
"Are they all real gold?" Jack asked incredulously.
"Of course," replied the guard.
As they left the basement, Jack thanked the guard and said,
"Some Japanese gentlemen will visit later this week. They're coming to buy some of these objects. Please be polite to them."
It was cold when the Queen woke up that morning, and Harris was desperate to get out. She put a cashmere cardigan over her nightdress, went downstairs, and let the dog out into the back garden. In the next door garden, Beverly was taking frozen clothes off the clothesline. When Harris reappeared, he was carrying a dead rat in his mouth.
"Harris found a rat," said the Queen. "Will there be more?"
"Don't worry," said Beverly. "They don't come into the houses. Well, not often."
Somebody was knocking on the front door. The Queen excused herself and went through to the little hall. She put a coat over her nightdress and cardigan and tried to open the door. It was stuck. Then the Queen heard a friendly woman's voice from outside.
"Hi, it's Trish McPherson, your social worker. I help all the families in this close."
The Queen looked at the door, not sure what to do next. The voice continued.
"Look, I know it's difficult for you, but it's not going to help the situation if you won't let me in, is it?"
Then Trish remembered her training. It was important to be non-confrontational. When the Queen didn't reply, she tried again.
"Come on now, Mrs. Windsor. Open the door and we can have a nice little talk. I'm here to help you. Let's have a nice cup of tea together."
"I can't receive visitors until I'm dressed," said the Queen.
Trish laughed.
"Don't worry, most of my clients are still in bed when I call."
Trish felt sorry for the Queen and didn't want to provoke her, so she wrote a note and pushed it through the letterbox. The note read, "I'll come round this afternoon about 3 p.m. Your social worker, Trish." She went back to her car and wrote, "Client resistant, still not dressed at 10 a.m. The Queen turned on the gas heater in the living room and lit a match. Nothing happened.
"Why doesn't it light?"
the Queen thought, perplexed. She wanted the room to be warm when Philip came downstairs for his breakfast. She intended to make a breakfast of tea and toast and imagined Philip and herself sitting by the gas fire, planning their new lives. It was a nice thought. Harris came in as she was holding the last match to the gas fire. He was hungry and cold and wanted somebody to give him some food. The Queen was torn between the fire and Harris.
"There's so much to do,"
thought the Queen.
"How do ordinary people manage?"
Prince Charles looked in through the living room window.
"You have to put a 50p coin in the meter, Mother," he said.
"But I haven't got a 50p coin,"
said the Queen.
Neither have I, said Charles. William may have one in his money box. Should I go and...
Yes, tell him I'll pay him back, replied the Queen.
Before he left, Charles said,
A social worker, Trish, came to see us this morning. She told me that I could have my ears pinned back on the National Health Service.
The Queen watched Charles as he ran back to his own house.
How happy he looks on what should be the most miserable day of his life, she thought.
Upstairs, Prince Philip woke up. He then turned over and went back to sleep. He preferred royal dreamland to the horrible reality of being an ordinary British citizen in a cold house. In the kitchen, the Queen unpacked the cardboard box marked food. Harris looked at the tins hungrily, but the Queen said,
Sorry, Harris, but there's nothing for you, old boy. This is for us.
She picked up a tin of beef.
It looks like dog food, she thought, but quite good. Now, how do I open it?
When Charles returned with the 50 pence coin, he went to the window and saw that his mother had cut three fingers, and Harris was trying to get the meat from a half-open tin on the floor under the table.
I think I may be bleeding to death, said the Queen.
Charles helped his mother to climb out through the living room window, because the front door was still stuck. Then he took her to the Royal Hospital. At the hospital, they waited 4.5 hours before a doctor finally examined the Queen.
Your mother is lucky she didn't decide to eat tinned beef on a Saturday night, said the doctor. On Saturday nights, we're extremely busy. Now I must go. A nurse will come and see you soon.
Charles and the Queen waited in silence for the promised nurse, watching the people passing by.